From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM, and welcome to our Thanksgiving night program. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Hope you had a great time, and to my amazing staff. And I want to mention all of them by name before we get going here. Executive producer Lisa Lyon. Senior producer Tom Danheiser. Operations director Dan Galanti. Our webmaster, Lex Lonehood. His backup webmaster, Sean Bottasur, who works on our Coast Insiders and our weekend shows. Assistant producer, Stephanie Smith. Weekend producer, Chris Boros. And then our weekend hosts, of course, George Knapp, Richard Serrett, Dave Schrader, Connie Willis, Lisa Garr, and Jimmy Church. All of them, great Thanksgiving to all of you. And thanks for keeping us doing what you're doing. In a moment, who's behind the secret door? Four special guests tonight. I have no idea who they are, so we'll have some fun together. Here's what's happening. A California farm is recalling a vegetable mix believed to be the source of E. coli in Costco chicken. It's a salad there. It's been linked to an outbreak that has sickened 19 people so far in seven states. 3 million spectators turned their eyes skyward with police sharpshooters on rooftops peering down for any signs of trouble at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York. All well. There was no problems, serious problems. There were mobile cameras, police helicopters, trained police dogs sniffing for traces of explosives, and officers patrolling on horseback. Thank God everything was okay. With as many as 1,000 active cases, at least 48 ISIS suspects are considered so high a risk that the FBI is using its elite tracking squads, known as the mobile surveillance teams, to track them down domestically. I think if we find them, we should simply get them out of the country. Sorry, that's the way it goes. ISIS recently sent out a new video taunting American, threatening more attacks. A new study says the U.S. should take those threats seriously. The Islamic State has recruited thousands of supporters, they say, in the United States, far more than previously thought. And according to a new report, it raises the likelihood that supporters of the terrorist army could be plotting attacks similar to what we saw carried out in Paris. And Russia is preparing wide-ranging economic sanctions against Turkey over the downing of one of its jets on the Turkey-Syria border. The prime minister there, Dmitry Medvedev, said that the measures would be drafted within days and could hit joint investment plans. Jerome Corsi, of course, who writes for WND and a noted researcher and author, spending a little bit of his Thanksgiving night with us. Jerry, lots going on these days, huh?
Quite a bit, and the very thankful that the Macy's Day Parade turned out without any problems, despite the heavy, almost military presence.
Oh, my God. They're going to have to do this on New Year's Eve, too. You know that.
It's going to be increasingly for sporting events, for all kinds of events. Unfortunately, the attacks in Paris raised the threshold worldwide of ISIS risk. And as we learn more about the terrorists in the Paris attack, they seem to have very free mobility throughout the EU, which again raises issues of how many might be in the United States and exactly where they may be and what they're up to.
You know, the story about at least 48 high-level risk ISIS suspects that they're tracking here in this country, I really think, you know, if they find them and if they really believe they're that high risk, you know what? Boot them out of the country. What do you think of that? Is that too drastic?
Well, I think, George, that's going to become a growing feeling, especially if we have an attack in the United States, which hopefully we will not ever have. But the concern is, of course, once any refugees are in the United States, the rights they have demand very careful attention in terms of when they're suspects. And this is going to apply to any suspected ISIS members as well. So, you know, a country like the United States, which has very robust freedoms for the, you know, people in the United States, including those who are refugees, is going to have the added difficulty of law enforcement vigilance to respect those rights and yet to protect the population from terrorist attacks. So it's a complex issue, George, but I think that increasingly radical mosques are going to be under investigation. There has to be a ratcheting up of security. And if there are more attacks from ISIS, the security issues are only going to get more severe, especially if there were an attack to occur in the United States.
No question. Jerry, enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend. Amid a growing political controversy, the Obama administration reminded state officials across the country that states do not have legal authority to refuse to accept Syrian refugees. This is going to get to be a mess, trust me. While 95% of the scientists might agree that global warming is man-made, another 95 to 97% of the Americans simply don't seem to care about the issue when stacked up against other concerns such as terrorism or the economy, according to a recent poll. Black Friday, people are in line right now, folks, shopping, getting ready to go. Some stores opened up early today on Thanksgiving, but Black Friday, of course, is supposed to be the biggest shopping day of the year that really propels the retailers into their fourth quarter. I mean, and people are out there right now waiting and waiting. And as soon as those doors open, somebody's going to get trampled. Be careful, would you not? And of course, the holidays bring the blues. One of the reasons why we broadcast live on Coast to Coast on holidays is because people are lonely. Not everybody, of course. Some of you have family, but there are some people who don't. And it's a very lonely period. And we want to do live shows for them especially. Peter Breggin, of course, our resident psychiatrist and noted author, Guilt, Shame, and Anxiety. Peter, why are the holiday times more blue for people? Is it because they remember their childhood or what?
Well, because they remember their childhood, yes. But also because they get reminded that they don't have their children with them. Or they remember, the sad times of a divorce. The holidays are very frequently stimulating of sadness and loss. And I think it's really important when people get into that place that they reach out to other people. I mean, we invited over to our home for dinner someone I didn't expect to, because I thought in the community he just had a ton of people. He'd been here a lot longer than us. But it turns out he doesn't like to be around a busy Thanksgivings because it makes him feel sad and he misses his kids. Well, Ginger and I were having a Thanksgiving just me and her. So he was happy to come here. There's nothing to make him jealous. Reach out to people. It's so important all of our lives. We just get reminded of it at Christmas and Thanksgiving to reach out to other human beings. You're not the only lonely person. There are many lonely people and good people and decent people. One of the things I noticed at working in my practice, George, is that there's a turning point when people decide that as hurt as they've been and as lonely as they've been and as scared they are, that they're going to the next morning get up and start smiling at other people and looking like they're interested in other people. And life can really change when you make that switch. So that would be my biggest message to folks who are feeling lonely tonight.
Super.
Decide you want to reach out and tomorrow morning and the next morning and the next morning and be friendlier than you dare and maybe anticipate that people may like to spend a little time with you. Take the risks because there's a lot of folks who really are looking for other folks.
Peter, thank you, and thanks for everything you do for us here on Coast to Coast. An Indiana man who admitted stealing human brain samples and other tissue from a medical museum and selling them received a 4-year jail sentence. The Marion County prosecutor, Terry Curry, said the 21-year-old man had pleaded guilty to burglary and had 3 years of his sentence suspended. The man admitted to breaking into the Indiana Medical History Museum several times a few years ago to steal jars of preserved tissue. He was arrested in 2013 after a San Diego man who purchased about 6 jars of brain tissue, now who would buy that, on eBay for $600, alerted the authorities. Weird. You know how some talk show hosts are jumping up and down saying, there's an alien structure out there on, 1,480 light years away. Well, we stood our ground and said, no, we don't think so. As a matter of fact, we talked to Jason Wright, the astronomer, who was misquoted by a number of people, and he said, no, 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 no. That is the last possibility of many other ones we believe it probably is. Anyways, at coasttocoastam.com, you'll see the story that new findings from NASA about the star that we've been talking about, they are not alien megastructures out there dimming that star, rather than, they say, a swarm of comets. Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center with us. Peter, what's the latest?
Boy, there's a lot going on, George. We just, thanks to our webmaster, who took off a little bit of his time from his Thanksgiving holiday to update our website.
Right.
We just posted about 150 new reports to our website this morning, and I don't recall an instance, George, when we have posted as many really intriguing and interesting reports as we did this morning. But I'd like to kick it off with an event that occurred up over, or was seen from Petersburg, Alaska, this past Saturday, the 21st of November, appears to be nothing more than a very dramatic meteor left a smoky trail in the sky. Very similar, reminds me of the meteor over Chelyabinsk, Russia, back February 15th of 2013. But if anybody up in that area of Alaska or British Columbia or the Yukon actually saw this object, we'd like them to submit just a short one-paragraph report describing what they saw. It was pretty dramatic, and people on the ground report that they heard audible sounds from it, shockwaves from the event. So it must have been pretty dramatic. But back to the UFO phenomenon for a moment. Two nights after that dramatic meteor, this is Monday, the 23rd of November, a gentleman in Athens, Illinois, about 6:30 p.m., was standing outside, and he saw what he thought was a pink light approaching him. So it captured his attention immediately. What was equally interesting was it had either a blue or a green light on its left side, which rules out any kind of terrestrial aircraft. Terrestrial aircraft would have a red light on its left side. This object passed right overhead this gentleman. He said it was unlighted except for the marking lights, and it was so dark that he could not make out a form, but it was totally silent and moving so slowly it could not have been an aerodynamic device. The next night, Tuesday of this week, two nights ago, Salt Lake City, a group of four witnesses, I think all adults, were standing outside in downtown Salt Lake City. They saw a large formation of lights pass overhead, begin to split up, which is unusual, and one seemed, from their vantage point, to descend into the Salt Lake City International Airport. That fact by itself should have triggered an investigation, at least by Homeland Security, and I've heard no more about it. Very strange
that
event.
It is weird.
About 20 minutes after the event in Salt Lake City, Tallahassee, Florida, a gentleman was driving. He was on Stadium Drive and West Pensacola Street, looked up, and he saw a diamond-shaped object with a green and a red light at each of the four vertices of this, I guess you would call it a rhomboid or diamond. He saw it for less than about 10 or 15 seconds, covered the whole sky in 10 or 15 seconds. He couldn't stop fast enough to get out of his car to watch it. The same night, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, woman reports some very strange trumpet-like sounds emanating from the sky, usually...
The apocalypse.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm pretty hard to convince when it comes to UFOs. People might be surprised by that fact, but a report like that I would traditionally just reject out of hand, but the woman is very, she writes extremely well, precisely. That's always a good sign of a credible witness.
Sure is.
Last two cases come from Oregon. Last night at 7:11 p.m., Dune City, just south of Florence, right where the sand dunes begin in Oregon on the coast. Guy was standing outside and saw a green fireball streak across the sky. Ordinarily, I would assume some kind of green meteor. Meteors can be green if they have copper in them. But he swears that he doesn't think it is. He says he's seen many meteors, but this was not one of them. And a second report from Oregon Salem, about 3 hours after that green fireball over Dune City, Oregon, gentleman was out jogging and he saw three or four very intensely bright orange lights. Again, more of these crazy orange lights very close to the airport. And just to close it off, I know these orange lights, these clusters of orange lights, I've talked about them way too frequently, but they're the most compelling phenomenon that is taking place in ufology today. I have received not fewer than 8 reports tonight, the 26th of November, from Delaware, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, 2 reports from Washington, Everett and Bellingham, Idaho, Boise, Idaho, and Kentucky. People are claiming they've seen up to 20 to 40 of these orange lights. So if anybody's seen anything tonight, we would welcome reports. And that's it.
All right, Peter. I trust you had a great Thanksgiving, my friend.
I had a wonderful time with good friends. It was a wonderful day for me.
Super. Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. Up next, we begin our first Who's Behind the Secret Door? I have no idea who these people are. We'll find out next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast this Thanksgiving night. George Norrie with you, and here is our first person. Now, I got to tell you, they have been previous guests on the program, so my producers aren't tossing somebody I don't even know. I've interviewed these people before, whoever they may be, so let's go to our first guest. Some of them try to trick me by changing their voices and stuff, but we'll figure it out eventually. Hello there, how are you?
Happy Thanksgiving to you, George.
You too, sir. Let's see, some little clues. When did I last chat with you?
Oh, it wasn't long ago. It was about 3 months ago, as a matter of fact.
Of course, I've interviewed about a million people over the past
yes,
3
indeed.
Months. What is your specialty?
Well, my specialty nowadays is positive mind metaphysics, something you and I have talked a lot about. And we've also discussed some occult topics, such as the Ouija board.
Okay, now I have to guess who you are.
Yeah. Been on the show many times. My first appearance was about 10 years ago.
This sounds like your voice, though. You're not altering it.
Not at all. Not at all. It's the real deal.
Oh, man, I'm drawing a blank.
I could never try to fool you, George. It's my real voice. You hosted me for the very first time in April of 2005. We talked about the occult. The last several times I've been on, we've talked about positive thinking and the metaphysical uses of the mind.
You're not Gary Schwartz.
No, sir.
You're not, and that's not my guess, because I said you're not.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. I give up.
Mitch Horowitz.
Mitch!
Yes.
How are you?
Great.
Very good.
Good to be here.
I should have zoned in on your voice, except I'm so used to people trying to trick me,
right.
I'm not used to you using your real voice.
Right. I did the strangest thing. I was completely ingenuous.
You were you. Well, how have you been?
I've been great. Everything is well. Hard at work with my writing and research into the uses of the mind, and we've had a great Thanksgiving.
When we were on, we talked about Ouija circles,
yes,
the White House seances, and
yes,
all
sir.
Those great things.
Yeah.
And I've got to tell you, I'm getting more and more emails from people experiencing these strange phenomena than ever
yes.
before. Is there
yes.
something going on?
You know, I think people are so inclined to experiment nowadays. You know, people feel completely disinhibited about experimenting with things. So if they hear about a Ouija board or something else, they're inclined to just give it a whirl. Now, sometimes that's the right thing. I encourage experiments. But when it comes to the Ouija board, I encourage caution because I hear more terrifying stories coming out of people's use of that object than almost anything else.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Hey, Mitch, stay with us. We got to take a quick local break for our local affiliates, but we'll come right back.
Well,
Mitch Horowitz is our first Behind the Secret Door guest. We're going to talk more about his work in the paranormal world. And with the time remaining with him, because he's only with us for the rest of this hour, we'll take some of your phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. And I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. And I'm glad you're with us tonight on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast and Behind the Secret Door with our first guest, Mitch Horowitz, of course. Noted author, his website, looked it up, MitchHorowitz.com, by the way. Mitch, when we last talked, we talked about how some powerful world leaders have used the occult at various times in their careers, Hitler, of course, being one of them.
Yes.
Is it being used now, do you think?
Well, it's interesting, George. Every time I sort of peel one more layer away from the onion, I find more and more world leaders who have had brushes with the occult. I just wrote an article for Salon, the online publication, about the psychic Jean Dixon and the Kennedy assassination.
Yes, I remember
that. Now, Jean became famous for supposedly predicting JFK's assassination. Now, in this article, I weigh out the various evidence, but what really surprised me was how many inroads a psychic like Jean Dixon had to different Washington power players. She was actually the godmother of one of Senator Strom Thurmond's sons. She had a long relationship with Ronald and Nancy Reagan, which ended in kind of a split. And she also had an Oval Office session with Richard Nixon, which was preserved on Nixon's White House tapes. Now, we don't often think of Nixon as a man of occult passions, but there he was, seated in the Oval Office with Jean Dixon. Jean got into the Oval Office because she was close friends with Nixon's secretary and gatekeeper, Rosemary Woods.
Rosemary Woods, the keeper of the tapes.
That's right. That's right. And she urged Nixon. She didn't erase this one.
Yeah.
And she urged Nixon to meet with Jean in the Oval Office. So, you know, it's kind of strange. You think of people like Richard Nixon, Senator Strom Thurmond. What do these guys have to do with the occult? But here they are hanging around with a psychic. So, you know, you peel back that onion and you're always surprised at who you find.
Now, I was 13 when Kennedy was assassinated, but I always remember stories, and it might have been Look magazine at the time that came out with the story that Jean Dixon tried to get to Kennedy and tried to tell him about Dallas. Do we know if that was true or a myth?
I would have to say it's a myth, because Jean did embellish a lot of stories after the fact, and she had just thousands and thousands of public predictions, and she would usually get a hit in one out of many thousands. Now, she did predict Kennedy's assassination in a certain way in an interview in Parade magazine in 1956. She said the 1960 election would be won by a young man who would be a Democrat and who would die in office. That was pretty creepy.
It was creepy.
You know, it's the kind of thing that does give you pause, and it made Jean famous. It made her into a household name. Now, she did... closer to 1960, she predicted Nixon was going to win the election, and then she said Kennedy might win by some kind of ballot tampering. So, you know, she would kind of cover her bases in a way, which is why a certain mythology developed around many of her predictions. But there was a little something there back in 1956.
In terms of, you know, leaders of the future, mm-hmm. are there any of them now that we know are dabbling with the paranormal or the occult?
It's a tricky one. You know, Hillary Clinton, during Bill Clinton's first term in office, when Hillary was first lady, she did have meetings in the White House with a friend of mine, Gene Houston, who is a New Age guru.
Mm-hmm.
I use those words in only complimentary ways. And they had sessions where she led Hillary in some creativity exercises where they acted out having a conversation with Eleanor Roosevelt. Well, this got translated in the Washington Post as Hillary holding seances to contact Eleanor Roosevelt. It wasn't anything quite that wild, but it is a fact that Hillary does have some New Age interests. Jean is a longtime presence on the human potential scene, and they did have a real relationship. Now, months ago, it seemed like Jeb Bush was going to be the Republican front runner. Doesn't seem that way anymore. The Bush family has some interesting occult roots in America. Going back to the mid-19th century, the first famous Bush was a man named the Reverend George Bush, and he was a defender of psychics and mediums and mesmerists, and that's a part of the Bush family's roots that one very rarely hears about.
I want to compliment you, Mitch, by the way, on not only a great presentation on all the shows you've been on with me, but your detail and your research is just impeccable.
Thank you. Thank you. I try. You know, you find that there's just so many facts that get skewed in the occult field. You really have to check and recheck your sources many times and try to always go to an original source, because things just get grinded up and very confused over time.
We'll get to the calls in just a second as they line up for you here, Mitch. But in terms of what's going on, we've got a dear guest and a dear friend of the program, Karen Dolman. Karen is a proponent of the Ouija board. She loves the Ouija board. She does not believe the Ouija board is evil at all, and she's very positive about it. Now, she's an outgoing, positive person. I've met her several times, and there's nothing evil about her at all, but she really is a believer in the Ouija board. And every time she hears anybody, me, you, talk about the Ouija board in that kind of fashion, she cringes. How come so many of us don't want like the Ouija board, and then there's a handful of people out there who do?
Well, there have been some positive things that have come over the Ouija board. There's no question about that. There was a woman named Jane Roberts who channeled the teachings of a being called Seth, and many people followed Jane's books. She got her start, in essence, using the Ouija board. There are certain works of poetry and literature that have come over the Ouija board. I don't so much say the Ouija board is sinister as I would compare it to the Internet. When you go on the Internet and you start fishing around for communication with people, you're going to meet with some people who you might be glad to know. You're also going to meet with some very hostile people. You don't know what you're getting. And when you sort of throw open a channel, there are various things that are going to come through that channel. We see it online all the time, where people get trolled or people get flamed. I think the Ouija board can be a little bit like that. You're opening a door, and you don't know quite what's going to come through it.
We've got a social network dating service called ParanormalDate.com, and I cannot recall one time where anybody has sent me an email saying, I can't wait to meet someone who's into the Ouija board.
Right. That's not a resume builder in the dating scene.
Let's go to the calls. Let's go to Tyler, first-time caller in Omaha, Nebraska, to get things started. Hi, Tyler. Go ahead.
Hi. It's a pleasure to be able to talk with both of you. My question is, real quick, though, is I had an experience in 2008 with a Ouija board, and I'm wondering if I hear a lot of bad things about it, but my experience wasn't necessarily bad. But I don't know if I believe it. I was with some roommates of mine at the time. And we supposedly talked with his cousin, my father, who passed away whenever I was younger, and my guardian angel. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Oh, sure. You know, people report talking to the dead all the time over the Ouija board. There are entities, wherever they come from, whether they come from out in the ether or whether they come from our subconscious, that will introduce themselves as a guardian angel or a spirit guide or something of that nature. There are benign communications that come over the Ouija board. The great mystery is, where do they come from? I've never placed stock in the people who say, the folks using it are just moving the pointer, moving the planchette, because I've used the Ouija board with dear friends, and we're not moving the pointer. We don't know what's happening.
But the planchette does move, right?
It does move. So where does that come from? Is that some motor response that we're just unconscious of, and we're communicating things from our subconscious? Even if that's true, and I'm not so sure about that, but even if that's true, there's some pretty frightening things hiding in our subconscious, because then there are all these scary stories. Is this how hostile we are? Is this how potentially violent we are? So there's no answer that totally puts one at ease when you ask, where is this Ouija communication coming from?
See, I've always thought sometimes, Mitch, that the demon or the entity, which is trying to squeeze through the Ouija board, will trick you.
Yes.
And so if you go, I'm looking for my dearly departed father, that they trick you and they come through saying they are that person, they're not.
A theme that I encounter again and again in researching Ouija is that very often initial communications, as you're saying, will be reassuring, will be helpful. You might receive help in finding your lost car keys. But over time, they tend to coarsen. They tend to get more threatening. They tend to get more ominous. So that is something to watch out for.
Let's go to Mike in Mississippi, east of the Rockies. Mike, you're on with Mitch Horowitz, our first Secret Door guest. Go ahead.
Yeah, You know, I've tried talking to several people because I'm mostly a Christian, there, George.
Yep.
And
good.
And you know, I'm a strong believer in the Bible, but still, yet when you talk to people about Greek mythology, the Titans, well, the Bible mentions this, and I just say, well, with Jesus, anything's possible. With God, anything's possible. So you can go back. There's witches and the occult back in Greek mythology. I believe this actually happened. It's not a myth because this is all part of God's path through mankind's life cycle that he's been here. You know, the Titans existed. Yes, maybe the first, you know, Abraham and the first children lived to 700 years. This is all true. It's, you know, it's all true because with anything, with Christ, anything's possible.
What do you think of demons, Mike? Do you think they exist?
Yes, they do exist.
Yeah.
Just like a lot of, you know, some Christians want to say hell doesn't exist. It does exist. I mean, think about this. Isn't it amazing how the Bible got through history to us?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I mean,
all the way through is amazing.
Yeah, you would figure it would be the one thing they would try to destroy.
Well, that is a good point and an honest point. Now, dabbling in this field, in the occult, Mitch, would you recommend children do this, teenagers, or just stay away?
Well, that's a tough question. I want to see kids, I want to see teenagers engage in exploration. I want to see them be able to spread their wings, learn about the world, get ideas about who they are. Kids are going to be vulnerable no matter what. I really couldn't say to anyone, look, keep your kids away from occult-oriented ideas, because that's such a broad category. You know, does that include the Eastern religions? Does that include some of the positive thinking metaphysics that I'm into? I think kids have to explore, and there are dangers out there in life. There are dangers with drugs. There are dangers with falling in with the wrong group of kids. There are dangers with, you know, kids getting into shoplifting and things like that. And yes, you know, there might be a danger here or there where the kid opens a door that maybe shouldn't have been opened. But I think, George, you know, we have to, within limits, we have to let young people experiment. That's where I come down. Now, the fact is, most of the teenagers out there who are into Wicca or are goth kids, they're terrific kids. They're gentle. They're not violent. They're not kids anybody has to worry about. So I would reassure any parent listening that if your kid is interested in Wicca or neo-paganism, chances are they're just a thoughtful, lovely kid.
Okay, Joel is with us, Long Beach, California. Hi, Joel. It's your turn.
Good evening.
Hi.
I have to say, I have extensive experience, beginning with a horrendous experience on a Ouija board. Since then, I have, you know, developed myself, because I'm, 64 years old now. I think we're about the same age. But I disagree with whether a kid is good or not. It's about the energy fields themselves. It's about the tuning of a frequency. And if you tune to a frequency, good or bad, you're going to draw those energies. And in my own case, it was a nightmare. I met a girl, made a date. She came over to my house. I had a great apartment. I was 18, just turned 18.
Not bad for 18.
No, I was a smoking kid. I was doing okay. And she was cute, and she came over, and she said, you know, I'm a witch. And I said, oh, that's cool. I mean, I did not know what hell was about to release. So to cut the story short, the beginning of a sojourn, we got a Ouija board out. It kept coming to the letter M. And then finally, she started asking questions about who I knew with an M. And then somehow it got to my roommate, and she said, what's he like? And I said, he has the power to. And he was a trainer at a sales club. And I said, to control people's minds, which I didn't want to say. It just came out, and all of a sudden, I felt like something physically enwrapped me. My muscles began to tighten up. My face began to change. I felt like my own mind, my own identity was receding into a small space somewhere else. The room was going kind of dim, and I felt something controlling my physical body. And it was a struggle. And she saw it, and she freaked. He grabbed a bucket of cold water and threw it on me.
Wow. Which,
this is the beginning. And then, you know, of course, being stupid and young, we went back to the Ouija board to ask what it was. And then it kept coming, the letter M, and the same thing happened. And so I freaked out. I called my roommate. I said, look, something's going on. Come on home. He came home. With him was a man, about the same age as, I think, about 28. His letter, his name was Michael, M. He came in. He was a pale-skinned guy with red eyes, big hulking guy, and he had this freakiest presence, and I didn't want him there.
Mm.
But the roommate said, no, he's a good guy, etc. So what did we do? The girl said, let's have a seance to find out what it was. And this was amazing.
And this guy was part of the seance?
Yep.
Oh.
And what happened was the entity identified itself as the adversary. I don't mention the name. And then to prove it was actually in the room, because it came through my girlfriend, or this girl I met, it jumped to one other girl. We had me, her girlfriend, my roommate, and this guy.
This guy, yeah.
And the voice jumped from the girl to the girl to the guy. And in mid-sentence.
Wow.
He then began to speak very softly to me, explained that he really wasn't bad. He was he described his relationship to the God, to the one God. He said that he really loved God so much, he wanted to prove that humanity was kind of messed up. So he was really there to show God that God could have done better, something ridiculous.
Was, was this Satan, Joel?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Kind of
so that. Anyway, the seance broke up, and for the next year, I went through pure hell. This guy would come over and hang out, and I can't explain it, but he put stuff into my head. And I'm a really tough guy mentally, but I couldn't resist it. And you know, I had some very dark thoughts. And without giving you specifics to keep the story shorter, 1 year went by, and I was at an outside park, and my dog was running through water, and a guy said to me, some stranger said, you know, you should tie or get on, you know, like ski behind her or something. And I thought it was funny. And his name was Michael.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And he invited me to his house. You know, he said there's some cool people there. And, you know, I'm thinking, like, okay, I'm, you know, turning 19 now. And
you went, didn't you? You went to the house.
I went to the house. I was curious. What I saw was unbelievable. It was like an ashram. And all these people were sitting in meditation all around the house. And there was an ashram within the house, a separate. And he told me my life story. He said basically he knew what was going on. He waved his hand and said something. And all that negativity was gone.
Hmm. Was gone?
Gone.
Well, he basically cured you. Mitch, we're almost out of time here, but please give us your website again.
Oh, website is MitchHorowitz.com. And you can also check me out on Twitter. We're starting a new campaign.
Oh, great.
Hashtag Mind Over ISIS. We're going to try to use mental mechanics as one of the weapons in the fight against ISIS. Hashtag
can't hurt.
Mind over ISIS.
Can't hurt at all. Mitch, thanks for being on the program. Appreciate it. Up next, we're going to continue with who's behind the secret door for the rest of the night. So we've got the second of four guests, and we'll see if I can guess who this person is. I did not guess Mitch Horowitz at all. I'll be back.